glad you tuned in to the Mission Del Rey podcast. I believe you will be blessed by Pastor Carl's message this week. We're a spirit-filled, multicultural church based out of Delray Beach, South Florida. Now, if you'd like to find out more about the mission, Pastor Carl, and our vision, just go ahead and log on to www.themissiondelray.com. We're on a mission. Let's go. We're on a mission.
God, I'm feeling good this morning. I'm excited about the water baptism. Who's getting baptized today? Give me a see handsome. I guarantee you more people than that will get dunked today. I absolutely guarantee you that that's what will happen. If you're going to get baptized today, just be expecting even now the Spirit of God is going to begin to work in you. It's going to be really, really, really good. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you're visiting with us today, my name is Carl Thomas. I'm the lead pastor of the mission. I just really thank you for coming today. And got some new faces in the house. I'm feeling good. I don't even want to preach, really. I just want to talk, but I got a word in my heart. Let me hear when you're at 1 Peter. Praise God. So we're starting a new series today. Oh, I thought they were going to... Watch this. Ready? Starting a new series today. Kingdom of Priests. Pretty excited about it. It's going to be a three-week series, and I'm just going to challenge you guys to begin operating in the gifts that God has for you in this series. And I believe some of you are going to get activated in it, and it's going to be really exciting. It's going to start today with the baptism. So 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 9. If you're there, let me hear you say yeah. Verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Father, we just love you, and I thank you for what you're doing today. I thank you for what you're doing at the mission. Lord, I thank you that it's your desire to draw people into your presence. It's your desire to save the lost. It's your desire to heal the hurting. Lord, it's your desire to lift infirmities. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would come today in power. Lord, I pray that you would even supersede my words, and you would skip the natural, go right to the spirit man. That people could encounter you in a new way today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. At the mission, we got a couple premises that we operate under. There's a couple ground rules that we believe here at the mission. One is Jesus Christ is Lord, you know, that he died on the cross for the sins of man. We believe that God is a good God. God is in a good mood. Contrary to what some people may have told you, God is in a good mood. He's not getting all emotionally tossed because you're having a bad day. His happiness is not dependent on what you're doing. Anybody catch that? God is not getting angry at you because you had a bad day. He's wholly unmoved. I don't know, but he's God. Did you know that? And the God isn't controlled by the people he lords over. That make sense? God is very mad at me. I doubt that God's angry because of you. I know you're special. I know your mommy told you that there's no one in the world like you. I know, special purpose and all that, but he's above that. All right, so that's one of the things that we believe. God is in a good mood. It's not like you're going to catch him on an off day. You know, yin yang over in China, you know, cheated on his math test, so now God is angry. Can't go to him today. That's kind of silly, right? You know, Joe Hernandez over in Mexico didn't pay his tithe, so God's very angry, so you can't go to him today because he's in a bad mood. That's silly, right? You ever think that God is angry so you can't go to him because you messed up? Is there anybody in here today? Is anybody not sure if you're here or not? Look at your neighbor and say, I know it's early. Go ahead, look at your... Wake up, though. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Look at your other and say, he's talking to you. Push him. He's talking to you. Even you. I'm talking to you. Come on. She ain't saying nothing. Just give her a shove right there. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but God is in a good mood. Did you know that? You know that he's happy right now? You know that his wrath was satisfied by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Did you know that? He was, you know, not in a really good mood for a while there, but his wrath has been satisfied. He's not looking for someone to punish. Did you know that? He's not waiting for you to mess up so he can punish you. Did you know that? He's in a good mood. Are you happy about that? Praise God. So that's one of the things that we believe. We believe God is a good God. He's in a good mood. He's not a good God in a bad mood. He's not an all-loving God who's waiting to kill people. You know, that's not God. God is in a good mood. That's one thing. We also believe that there's no special people in the kingdom of God. I mean, except for, you know, I know your mom told you that you are. But there's no special people in the kingdom of God. You know, there's no high-class Christians and then middle-class Christians and low-class Christians. There aren't new believers and mature believers. You know, there's just believers. And when God created you, he created you with a special purpose. And he created you with gifts to fulfill that purpose. There's no football team that only recruits running backs. There's no football team that only recruits wide receivers. Now, the quarterbacks and wide receivers get all the press, but they recruit linemen. They recruit kickers, which is pretty much the only position I could probably play in football because I don't like getting hit, you know? There's offense, there's defense, there's people with different positions. And, you know, if you miss any of those on the team, you're going to lose. You can have 11 of the greatest running backs in history, but if you don't have some linemen, you're not winning. Your soccer team can have the greatest goalie. As a matter of fact, they can have a half dozen goalies. But if all you're putting on the field are goalies, you're not winning any games. The best you could ever hope for is a tie. And God didn't create me for a tie. He created me to be on top. How about you? We may go back into worship, y'all. I'm not playing. Y'all enjoy worship today? It was good, right? Praise God. But check this out. God's original plan was not to have a system where there's men over other men. It was never God's original intent that he talked to one person and that person represents God to other people. That was never his original plan. That was what man forced his hand to do, but that was never God's original plan. I believe in this time of restoration, in this time of outpouring, God wants to take us back. And some people want to take us back to Azusa Street in 1906 and the pouring out of the Spirit in 1901. And some people believe that we're going to get back to that period. But I believe God wants us to go beyond that. I some people want to go back to what happened in the Welsh Revival, where so many people got saved that they had to shut down the coal mines because the coal miners would direct their donkeys that pulled the carts using curse words. And so many coal miners got saved, they wouldn't use those commands anymore. So they had to shut down the mines to retrain the donkeys. But I believe God wants to go beyond that. Some people want to go back to the Reformation, where people began to turn away from just religion and turn toward faith in God. But I want to go beyond that. Some people want to go back to Pentecost, where 50 days after Jesus, the Spirit of God descended and multitudes were added to the church and gifts were poured out and the dead were raised just with shadows and miracles abound and there was supernatural giving and there was faith and people want to get back to Pentecost. But I believe God wants to go beyond that. I believe it's the plan of God to bring us back to the garden. What was God's original intent? His original plan was not Pentecost. His original plan was not good church. His original plan was not, you know, religion. His original plan was man and God having a relationship where God would come down in the cool of the day and walk with man. You know, last night let me see how I can explain this. Last night I like to go to sleep with my iPod on. I just like to do that. Like if I get some real anointed worship, I'll just go to sleep with it. and I'll just soak while I sleep. And other times, what I'll do is I'll play the Bible. I have an audio Bible, ESV. They like act it out. You know, it's not like some dude, you know. Chapter 7. And then Esau begat, you know, they act it out, you know. And there's a free one online. I'll try to post the link on my blog. There's a free ESV New Testament. And they act out the whole thing, and it goes line by line. You can read the Bible. So I like to put it in, and I really like to listen to Peter and Timothy when I go to sleep for some reason, but I'll listen to John, whatever. But last night, I decided to switch it up a little bit, and I had Revelation on. Not a good idea. There's a lot of drama in Revelation. If you haven't read the book, it's in the back, a lot of drama. And I got awakened about chapter 8, like all kind of, you know, things weren't good. And I got awakened. I was a little startled, and I was able to go back to sleep. And I got kind of a strange, you may not, this isn't Bible, this is Carl, all right? So just hear this for a second. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, the Lord enables me to see things, prophetic gifting, you know, I get to see visions. And you know, a man wrote the book of Revelation. Okay, he wasn't an angel. You know, we know that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it was an actual man who held an actual pen and wrote on actual paper. Okay, sometimes we forget that these are real people who wrote these things. So the Holy Spirit enabled John to see the end times, and the same Spirit lives in me. And if you're a believer, it lives in you. So sometimes I'm able to see things, and sometimes you access things that you're not really trying to see at that moment, but that's a prophetic gifting. You don't have any choice. That's just what happens. So I go back to sleep, and then I heard the trumpet call. You know, at the end, the trumpets, and people are caught up. You ever read that in the Bible? And it's going to be loud, and it's so loud the entire earth hears it. Well, I went back to sleep, and I heard that trumpet, and it's really loud, and it about made me jump out of my skin, because I was like, ah! You know, I just, whoa! You know, it was... Look and make sure people were still in the house. You know, they were. Good news, you know. Praise God. Some people believe that, you know, the righteous are going to be caught up. Others believe that the wicked are going to be removed, you know. But either way, my whole family was together. It makes me happy. You know, I was happy about that. The only thing is, when you hear the trumpet call of the return of Jesus, that startles you a little bit, you know. So I was up at this point. It was about midnight, and I was awake. I was, like, really awake. My heart was super awake. You know, and I'm like, oh boy, look at that midnight. Technically, it's 1 o'clock because we're putting clocks ahead. All right, Lord, anytime now we can just go to sleep and that'll be cool, you know. And 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you know, I'm just chilling, me and the Holy Ghost just talking a little bit, you know. 3 o'clock, I'm like, I don't know, you getting bored? Because I'm getting a little tired. We can just go to sleep now. It'll be all right, you know. Apparently, he wasn't bored yet, so we were just talking. And here's what's really cool. I decide, you know, I'm not some to kind of alleviate my wife's suffering, to leave the room. I went to go sleep on the couch in the living room. And normally when we go, you know, someone goes to sleep on the couch, you know, that's like, it's like the super anointed couch. You just fall asleep on it. You know what I mean? Like, can't sleep in my bed. Let me go on the couch. You know, just go right out. So I'm laying there, and this is really funny. I'm laying there, and I'm just, you know, I'm listening, you know, God and I, I'm just like the Spirit of God comes in the room. And I'm just chilling with the Holy Ghost, right? We're just kicking it right there in the living room. The glory is there. I'm like, man, if someone came in right now, they'd probably get healed. This is awesome, you know? But who are you going to call at 3 a.m? So I'm just laying there, and I go to fall asleep. And, like, I'm finally getting, like, tired. And then I, like, hear something. And I'm like, Lord? And it was my son. You know, my son walks in, and he wakes me up. You know, like, I'm just about to fall asleep. What's up, buddy? He goes, yeah, I'm bored. Go to sleep, man. What are you doing? Okay. So he goes to bed. So I'm laying there a little bit longer. It's like 3:30. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I don't know if you know this, Lord, but I got to work tomorrow. I know you got off, but, you know, it's your day of rest, seventh day. It's my work day, you know. I got to be working in about 5 hours. So I'd really like to go to sleep now. It'd be really good. You know, so we're just chilling there. And then I start getting really, really, really sleepy again. And I'm just about, I got my, listen to some music. Got this peace coming over me. And then I, like, hear something. I jump, it's my wife standing over me. I'm like, whoa, what the? Heart starts doing this thing again. I'm like, goodness gracious. What's up, baby? She goes, oh, just wanted to give you a kiss. Oh, that's wonderful. Love you. I, you know, I'm on the couch. It means I can't sleep. You're just going to come on out and visit me. That's awesome. It's great. Great to be thought about. So she goes back to bed. I'm like, Lord, you're trying to tell me something here. I know, you know, I'm not a prophet, but it don't take, you know, a prophet to recognize God is trying to tell me something, you know? So I'm just chilling on the couch and awake for a long time. And he just begins to share with his heart with me about his desire to spend time with his people. You know, and God is not as concerned about your sleep as you are. Did you know that? He's not as concerned about your sleep as you are. He's not as concerned about many of the things you're concerned about as you are. What he's concerned about is what he created you for and what your original purpose was. You see, before Jesus, there was the law. And before the law, there was relationship. And God originally, in the original times, what would happen was there was a priest in every home. And the firstborn male would inherit the priestly role in the home. The father would be the priest of his home, and then his firstborn son would become the priest. That's how it originally was. And then you remember when we talked about in our last series how in the Exodus God brought through Moses brought these people up out of Egypt, and they went to Mount Sinai, and God was like, you know, he originally tells them in Exodus 19, he says, hey, you will indeed obey my voice. It's Exodus 19:5. He says, you're going to obey my voice. You'll be my treasured possessions among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, he says. Verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to Israel. This was God's original plan for the Jews as they came out of Egypt. It wasn't to have a priest and a prophet and then the people. Moses, as a matter of fact, when he went up on the mountain, he came back down. He's like, hey, guess what? God wants to have a relationship with all of us. We were in slavery and we were apart from God. But the good news is we don't have to be separated anymore. And the people said, no. You go talk to God for us, because if we see him, we'll die. You go speak to him. Moses didn't understand what was going on. So he goes back up the mountain. You remember what happened while he was at the top of the mountain? They began to make their own gods. You see, when you know somebody and you're witnessing to them and they start giving you all these crazy excuses and you feel like you have to overcome their excuses for faith and they say, oh yeah, but what about this? And you're like, oh no. Here's what that means. Oh, what about this? Oh no. What you're trying to do is you're trying to overcome a god that's in their heart. You can't dislodge the god that's in someone else's heart. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Moses said, listen, worship God. No, you go to him for us. He was unable to recognize at that point that they had already exalted their own man-made God in their heart. So at the bottom of the mountain, while Moses is up there literally seeing the living God, the people are down at the bottom building golden calves and worshiping them. And they build these calves and they're worshiping them. They say, oh, these are the gods that brought us up out of Egypt. Like, it can't even walk. You can't even ride a calf. You'd think they'd at least make a donkey or something. You know what I mean? A camel. You know, a golden camel would have made more sense. The camel we rode out of Egypt. It's a calf. What are you going to do with a calf? Eat some veal? I mean, what do you got? So listen to this. God said to them, listen, if you'll obey me, I want to make you a kingdom of priests. But these people sinned. They fell away. They didn't follow God. So God had to come up with a new plan. God had to say, listen, there was a group of people. There was a group of people who didn't worship the golden calf. They were the Levites. And he said to them in Exodus 32, he says, today you have ordained yourselves for the service of the Lord. You see, by your righteous actions, you declare to God, listen, I am ordaining myself to the Lord. And so for another 800 years, the people of Israel went around. They had priests that would go and make a sacrifice. The people would sin and they would bring a sacrifice to the priest. And the priest would take it to the altar and he'd sacrifice it and he'd sprinkle the blood and that would atone for the sin. But God was still saying, look, my original plan was to have a relationship with man. About 600, 800 years later, he speaks through Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 31, he says, look, the day is coming. I'll make a new covenant with people. I have an agreement with them now through the priests with my promise for them, but I'm going to make a new covenant with them, a new contract, a new plan. He says, not like the covenant I made with their fathers when I brought them out of Egypt. But in verse 33, he says, this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I'll put my law within them, and I'll write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. You see, at that day, the only way they got the word was through the reading of it by the priest. But God is saying, listen, you know that big scroll that's in that cabinet over there at the synagogue? I'm going to get that, and I'm going to write it on your heart. That's my plan. Now, that had to sound a little silly to most people. But we know Jeremiah was talking about Jesus. This brings us back to our verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:5, he says, you yourselves are like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. You see, they had a temple before, but now God says, you are the temple of God. He says, you're gonna offer sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I want you to hear this. He said, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, God's original plan that he spoke to the Jews as they came out of Israel, kingdom of priests, he expressed it through his prophet Jeremiah. Look, one day I'm going to write it on your hearts. You're not going to have to read it with the flesh. He brought it to fruition through Jesus Christ. You see, there are certain churches that preach. There are priests, and there are holy people. There are saints, and there are priests, but it's not you. It's not you. It's us on the platform. But that was never God's plan. That was never God's plan. God's plan was. Let me say it this way. Anybody in here saved? Let me see, are you saved? You received Jesus Christ as your Savior? You're a saint. I don't care if some dude with a funny hat, you know, proclaims it after you're dead or not. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a saint. I mean, even the Catholics believe in holy people, but they're just the nuns and the priests and the monks. But we are called to be God's priests on the earth. Now I want you to catch this, and here's the point of this series. There were priests who only ministered to the Jews, okay? God would separate the Levites to be priests, a certain branch of the Levites to be priests, and they would minister between the ark and God's people for the remission of sins, for the requirement of the law, and the fulfillment of righteousness. This is what they did. What God did was, he said, listen, there is going to be a my people and the people that are separated to minister to them. Okay, you catching this, right? His people were the Jews, and he sanctified a certain group of priests to minister to them. You got that, right? Is anybody not getting this? Is anybody not going to say anything no matter what I ask? There were a group of people called the Jews. He separated a group of them to minister to them, okay? These are my people. These are the people I've separated. God says, listen, now I have a new plan. My people is the whole earth. I'm separating those who believe in me to minister to them salvation. We're a kingdom of priests. Back when there was the temple, there was the holy place, but then there was the most holy place, and only the high priest could go there to minister. Okay? Once a year, the high priest would go into the most holy place and would minister the blood for the remission of sin. The Bible says that that temple on earth was just an image of the one in heaven. Now, why would there need to be one in heaven? Because the high priest can't get there. God's original plan was Jesus would be that high priest ministering at the ark in heaven. He goes into the most holy place. We, the priests, minister before the ark, God's promise, and the people who don't know him, to the heirs of salvation. You hear what I'm saying? I want you to hear this, but don't get goofy on it. The lost don't know that their sins have been forgiven. Did you know that? Now, they're not saved because they haven't received that yet. You hear what I'm saying? But their sins have already been forgiven. They haven't received that forgiveness by repenting of their sins and turning in faith toward Christ. They're not saved. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ was sacrificed for the remission of sins. It's not like he's gradually doing that. That's not an ongoing. It's happened. It's our job to let the world know, guess what? If you just stop your stupidity, just you need to get it that Jesus Christ is Lord. Turn from your life and accept him. I mean, that's all. The work has already been done. You hear that? It's not like there's people in this room right now that you're not saved. You don't know Jesus. You're living in sin. You know, that's okay. We were all there at one point. But it's not like if you decide, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and get saved today. It's not like you're going to come to the front here and then, you know, in heaven, they're going to get Jesus and put him back on the cross. Oh, Billy Joe Bob decided to turn from his sin, Jesus. Sorry, got to nail you back to the cross again. Right? You hear what I'm saying? The work has already been done. People need to come under it. You catching this? How do they come under it? How do they get their sins atoned for? How does that happen? Who's going to do that work? Well, you know, Jesus Christ did it in heaven. But it's our jobs, the Bible says, as ambassadors of reconciliation, to let the world know, hey, guess what? God desires to have a relationship with you. God desires to have a relationship with you. Now, it's easier as a church leader for me just to say, you know what? You just come and listen, bring your friends, and I'll do the work of the ministry. That's easier. That's more simple. I don't have to worry about y'all getting crazy. I don't have to worry about, you know, you starting your own thing. But it's not biblical. It's not biblical for me to just say, you know, if you just believe and bring your tithe, that's good enough. It's because it's not biblical. It's not what you were called to do. It's not God's plan. God's plan for you is to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to be in ministry? Welcome to the ministry. There's a whole world out there who needs to know about Jesus. Somebody says to me, yo, Pastor, I want to be in ministry. I said, well, that's awesome. Well, can I preach on Sunday? No, not here, you know. This is my ministry. I'm using this one right now. Sorry. As I say, you know, you want to be in ministry? Yeah. How big a group do you want to preach to? 10, 20, 100, 200? How big do you want? 200 would be good. Probably 200 people in Walmart right now. Go ahead. Preach away, bro. 1,000, you know? You know what I'm saying? How many do you want to preach to? The world is your church. That's your ministry right there. See, my job, Ephesians chapter 4 says that the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, my job is to teach you to minister. My job is to make sure you have what you need to do the work of the ministry. It's not my job to minister, it's my job to teach you to minister. It's not my, you know, we're not going to hire an evangelist on staff to go win the lost and bring them to this church. Because the job of the evangelist is to teach the saints how to minister evangelism. I mean, that's what my Bible says. The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, if the job of the evangelist is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, why do we say the evangelist got to go win the lost? That's your job. Is anybody catching this? Say, I'm called to be an evangelist. You believe Jesus can lie? Think he can get it wrong? We'll see. No, I'm joking. Here's what's happening. All right, we're running late. I'm going to wrap it up quick. Here's what's happening. Jesus is looking for obedient people in South Florida that he can anoint for the work of the ministry. He don't want to share his riches just with anybody who shows up. He's not going to cast his pearls before swine. But he is looking for those that when they're building that golden calf, they're saying, I'm not going to worship that thing. I'm living for Jesus. He's looking for people in South Florida that he can pour out his glory upon so they can do the work of the ministry. Here's how he does it. Someone called Tracy and said, you know, what's the vision? What's the mission of the mission? She's like, get people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the mission right there. You know, and they're looking for something fancy. But our goal is to get people who aren't in the kingdom of God into the kingdom of God and then turn back outside the kingdom of God and get others to come in. That's the mission. That's the goal, right? That's the job. Your job as a believer in Jesus Christ is to seek Jesus, be in his presence, get baptized in the Holy Ghost, get anointed to do the work of the ministry, go out and get the lost. That's it. That's the job. That's the goal. That's what you do. How he does it is he changes people's lives. And then changed people change people. Hear me? Changed people change people. We were talking to my connection group. People were saying, you know, I don't know how to witness to these people. They argue about the Bible and they argue about this, that. And I say, well, you ain't got to teach nobody the Bible. You don't got to be the foremost expert on the Levitical line. You don't have to be an expert on the last days theology and what the 12,000 means and the 120,000 and the wheel within the wheel. All you got to tell people is, guess what? I used to be dumb like you, but then I got saved. People try to argue with me, blah, 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 and I'll be like, you got something on you, right? Right? What is it? Food? No, it's a demon. I can cast it off you if you'll just, you know, repent of your stupidity and let me just get you saved and so I can get you free of this thing. I'm not operating on this plane right here. I'm not operating in this natural realm. I'm not operating on what we can see. I'm not bound to what is happening in nature. I'm not bound to what you can sense with your five senses. I'm not bound to this little realm right here. You see, I'm operating in another realm. I'm not in the kingdom of America. I'm in the kingdom of heaven. I'm part of that kingdom of priests that's operating according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, I'm waking up in the morning. I'm saying, okay, Holy Ghost, fill me. Where are we going today? I need my download of heaven's direction. What's happening now? Lord, what is it that you want to birth in Delray Beach that I need to tune into so I can just be a herald of what you want to have come? Lord, I want to be the John the Baptist of today saying, make straight the way of the Lord. What do you want to do today that I can prophesy into this realm, Lord? See, that's my call right there. What's yours? Is your call just to stare at your addiction all day? Oh, look at me. I can't stop picking my toenails. Oh, me and my toenails. All I can think about is my dirty toenails and picking the dirt out of my toenails. I mean, come on. Quit looking at your own nonsense all day long. Get your eyes off yourself for just a moment. Let the toenails take care of the toenails. Just focus on Jesus. Lord, I got problems right here. And let me tell you what, you start taking care of God's business, he'll start taking care of yours. Amen. You hear me? You start taking care of what's important to Jesus, he'll take care of all that other stuff. Because my Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As you're staring at those things you want, you're not seeking the kingdom of God and you can't get them. Wow. The closest you'll ever get is halfway there. I think it's getting closer. I think it's getting closer. No, it's just getting bigger in your eyes because you're staring at it. But you can't achieve it. You stare at Jesus, and I tell you what, them things will overtake you. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So what I do is I'm like, Lord, I want to be an agent of change on the earth. Start in me, Lord. But until you finish that, I'm going to be about my business right here. I'm going to be preaching the gospel. I'm going to be declaring righteousness. I'm going to be overcoming demons. I'm going to be out there just telling folks what is to come. I'm going to let them know there is a shift in the atmosphere. And Jesus Christ is coming to South Florida with fire. And he's going to save sinners in Delray Beach. My heart's cry. You see, changed lives cannot be silenced. I was messing with some people on Facebook this week. I just mess with people sometimes. You know what I mean? That's just kind of what I do. Just poke them a little bit. And so there's like a picture from like this youth group. A bunch of people were in the picture a couple years ago. They're all, oh, look how cute I look. Oh, look how cute I look. I said, is anybody in this picture even saved anymore? I just ask. You want to see if somebody's saved? Just ask them. Are you saved? You worship Jesus? They'll either say yes or no, but here's how they'll say it. Glory to God, yes. But no will sound like this. Oh, that's a private thing. My relationship with God is a private matter. Ain't nobody can judge me. No. Somebody will judge you. I'm just asking, you know, how it's going to work out for you. That's all. That's what I like to say. You can't judge me. Oh, no, your sin judges you. I'm not, you know. Your lack of righteousness judges you. I'm just curious, you know, if you know that you're under judgment. I'm just wondering, you know. I'm just striking up conversation here. I let them know. You know you're a sinner, right? You know that, right? You know that, right? We know. Come on, it's all right. I mean, I'm not mad at you. It ain't me. I'm not going to send you to hell. I'm just curious. It ain't me. So I just ask people. I just go there, you know? I just go there. It wasn't anybody in this room, was it? Okay, praise God. You can take care of that in a little bit, though, but I just ask them. And folks get mad, and I'm like, why do you get mad? Diane, let me ask you a question. Are you saved? What? Just like that? Just yes, huh? Not offended at me asking you? Well, Sergio, you saved? Yeah? All right. You saved, right, honey? Mikey, you saved? Okay. Who's not saved? Let me just ask you. You know, no, I'm joking. But if you ain't saved, you know it. You know it. Here's my goal. We know that changed lives change lives. We know that changed lives cannot be silenced. If you've really been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if you've really met Jesus Christ, if you really have come and encountered the living God, if you've really come face to face with the Messiah, the resurrected one, the Word, the truth, and the life, if you've really seen Him, you can't just keep it to yourself. You got to let folks know. They're like, why are you always talking about the Bible? Oh, if you hadn't read it, you would know why I'm always talking about it. Why are you always talking about Jesus? Because you need Him, honey. That's why I'm talking. He changes lives. You need change. I ain't here to judge you, but your life is miserable. I'm here to let you know. You see, changed lives cannot be silenced. And my heart's cry, my goal, what I dream about in the midnight hour as I'm soaking in God's presence at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, what I want to hear God say, I want to hear people of Delray Beach say, what I want to see in the newspapers, nothing like this has ever happened in Delray Beach before. I want people on the streets to be like, I don't know what's happening. Nothing like this has ever happened before in Delray Beach. I don't know what's going on in the Town Center Mall in Boca Raton. I don't know what's going on there, but nothing like this has ever happened before. Bill Johnson has a church in California, Northern California. And people have so caught on to this that they bring the message of healing just in their everyday lives, right? And quite often, their people shop at the mall, and they just heal people while they're in the mall, because it's just part of their lifestyle there. And it got to the place where a woman called the church one day, and she said, I'm at the mall, and nobody has healed me yet. I was told if I come to this mall, somebody would pray for me, and I would be healed. And the pastor's like, oh, I'm so sorry. But if you come to the church, someone will pray for you and you'll be healed. You know, it's a really miserable day when you have to actually drive all the way to the church to get healed, you know. But that's a reputation. That's a reputation. I don't want to just be known for good music. I don't want to be known for, you know, casual dress. I don't want to be known for anything other than that Jesus Christ is made famous at the mission. I'm looking for revival in Delray Beach. I'm looking for folks who be like, you know, I don't know that much about Jesus. I just know I met Him, and if I pray for you, you're going to be healed. That's what I'm looking for. I don't need a doctorate of divinity to know that, you know, I can cast that thing out of you right now that's not, you know. You know, sometimes when you see people and they're really ugly, it's their sin that you see. Did you know that? You know, sin makes you ugly, right? You ever seen like, I'm getting off subject here, but that's all right. You ever, You know, dude, you'll know this one. You know, like in high school, the girls that were really, really cute, then like 5, 6, 7 years later, you're like, dang. Looking rough. You're like, that's been a hard life for you, huh? You went a lot of sin, huh? Sin makes you ugly. And it makes you stupid. Sin makes you stupid. Sin makes you ugly. I've seen some of y'all come to the mission not looking too good. Get saved, just getting cuter and cuter all the time. I'm like, no, they saved now. Look at that. Look at that. Looking better. I'm talking about y'all. Don't be looking at other people. Sin makes you look cuter. You know, just buy less makeup, buy less music. I just look cute. I'm radiating with the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. Sin makes you ugly. It makes you ugly. Clears your acne up. Does all kinds of good stuff. It's a wonder-working power, that blood of Jesus. I tell you what. Here's my final point, and if I even had one, I don't know. Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow those who believe. These signs shall follow. Let's just go ahead and read it. Just so you know, I'm not making this up. I'll make up a scripture now. I'm not above that. I call it the Gospel of Carl. The good news according to me. Listen, Mark 16, starting with verse 15, he says, and he said to them, go into the whole world. How much of the world? Go into the whole world, even to your neighbor. Hey, you know who your neighbor is? The person who lives next door to you, all right? It's not that complicated. Go witness to him. Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Y'all hear that? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm saved. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, hold on. I got a list right here. Not sure what you're supposed to do now, right? No, I'm just saved, and I don't. Okay, here, let me help you out. Cast out demons, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Oh, I don't want to do all that spiritual stuff. Oh, well, I guess you can go back to the law, I guess. It's going to be a hard time finding Moses, but, you know, it's an option for you. Listen, we're going to be a house of supernatural. I mean, I'm not happy with what we got going on right now. I mean, at the FAU connection group this last week, what, two people got baptized in the Holy Ghost? That's good news. That's awesome. Give it up. Come on, give it up. How many people go to FAU? No. On the campus, how many people go there? How many people are enrolled at FAU? If you were to count all the people who are enrolled at FAU, what would that number be? 30,000? 40,000? 40,000 enrolled? I'm pretty excited that two got baptized in the Holy Ghost, but you know, we're about 39,000 short right now. You hear what I'm saying? Is anybody catching this? I mean, I'm really excited about how we're growing, but you know, there's about 200,000 people in this area. I mean, 100 is great and all, but we're about 199,000 short. And we haven't even touched, you know, Dade and Tampa and, you know, everywhere else we're supposed to go. Is anybody catching this?
Yeah.
All right. I'm just have to shut this down. Jesus is looking for obedient followers. Some of you in this room today, you need to get baptized. That's going to be your next step of obedience. You're not going to wait until your mommy can come. You're not going to wait until you're going to think about it. You're not going to, well, I don't know, when I was born, I got bad. You know, a religious bath does not count. You're going to say, I'm going to obey Jesus. I'm going to give my whole life to him today. There's too many people that are full-time students and part-time Christians. Oh, I'm a full-time car mechanic. Part-time Christian. Okay. I'm a full-time wife, part-time Christian. Too many people. You gotta get that full-time thing going on. Let this be who you are. I'm a Christian. This is who I am. I expect the goodness of God in my life because there's no area of my life that I've sealed off from Jesus. What are your first steps? We're going to have an Easter service. We're having an Easter service coming up in a couple weeks. Get some invitation cards. Begin inviting people. It ain't that hard. Some of you are going to lead people to Jesus. Other people are going to say, you know what? My church is having an Easter service. I know you don't have a church. You want to come on out? You're going to promote it. You're going to just invite people. Take that next step of faith. Take that next step of faith and just say, Lord, I want to begin answering the full-time call of God in my life. Those of you who feel like you're supposed to work at a church and preach the gospel, what you want to do is you want to become so valuable to Jesus that he don't want you working in your other job no more. That make sense? Too many people just want to chill out at church and wait for the pastor to give them a job. It don't work that way. Jesus does the hiring. He hires people who he needs on full time. Wow, that person, they're spending a lot of time at work and only a little time. I need them more time in the ministry. Let me just pull them out of that and put them in the ministry. That's how it works. It's not that complicated. Tracy's going to come up. She's going to receive the offering. Then here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an altar call. If you're away from God, or if you're going to get baptized today, you're going to come up and we're going to pray for you and you're going to get water baptized and God's going to change your whole life.